Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for joining me again for episode 4 of Love and All That Jazz. You're probably here because you saw my Instagram or Facebook post about how on my birthday, I was almost killed. My oh my. And I'm here to tell you the story. But first, before I get into that, the overall theme of what I'll be talking about today is fear. What is fear? I'll tell you since you asked. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. That is the theme of what we will be talking about today. And I just want to know, like, you can leave a comment in the comment section of whatever picture I post that's going to go along with this. But let me know, you know, what you all think about fear. My opinion of fear is that it's not real. But my opinion of fear and my belief of fear was tested on my birthday. So let's talk about it. So my birthday was on a Wednesday. And usually, since my birthday is on Valentine's Day, usually I always know that I'm not going to get to do anything on that actual day unless it's with my family, but never really with friends because most of my friends are in relationships and they're most likely going to be spending that evening with their significant others. And I say that because I haven't been in a relationship in a while, and so I just haven't spent that romantic evening like that in a while. So it's not something that I've grown accustomed to in these last few years. So I was surprised when my friend, a good friend since the sixth grade, Yamika, reached out to me. Hey, Yamika. Reached out to me and asked if I wanted to actually hang out on my birthday. And I was in shock because she has a husband, and but she told me he was working, and so it was okay. We could hang out, and I was like, "Oh, okay, awesome." So I won't be taking you away from him. And so we decided that we were going to go out for drinks, get fancy and cute and pretty, and just look our best, just get fine on them, you know, just no holds bar. Let's do it. So we got cute. We decided that I was going to drive. She came over to my house and I drove us. We were going to a bar off of 75, I-75. If you're from Dallas, you're familiar. We went to Bar Louie. And right when we got in the car, I noticed that I was on a fourth of tank. I had a busier kind of week, and it was just the middle of the week, honestly. But I never once made it a priority to stop and get gas. It just wasn't something I was worried about. It was like, I'll get there when I get there. I just wasn't making it a big deal. And when we got into my car to head to the bar, I noticed that I was at a fourth of tank, and it wasn't right on the line, but it was a little underneath. But hey, it's not completely at E. The gas light is and all. And hey, what's the most famous line? I know my car, so we good. You know what I'm saying? We were good. I wasn't tripping. So we drove from my house to the bar, and we got in there. We had a great time. The plan was, you know, of course, to drink and just have girl talk, take cute pictures, all of that. Honestly, what we sat at the bar and did the entire time was talk about how good God is. And now one may say, "Ah, oh, yeah, I was drunk." Because, you know, that's what people do when they get drunk. They sit up and talk about God, how much they love their friends, or "I love y'all for real." Like, but we weren't drunk. Like, we only had one drink. We had food, but we only had one drink. And our conversation was really genuine and really pure. We talked about the kind of women that we wanted to continue to be and how we wanted to represent ourselves and grow in Christ and not just have our relationships with Him be private, you know. We needed to basically be like walking it, like we talk it, like the song, "Walk It Like I Talk It." Hey, yeah, like that. that's how we were feeling. Like, you know, this just didn't need to be something we kept to ourselves, because how can you? You know, And I talked to her about how there have been times where I wanted to have episodes on my podcast where I talked about how good God is to me and how he saved me and how I was lost at one point in time and I turned away from everything that I knew and believed and I was in a very dark place, but he didn't leave me there. He welcomed me back with open arms. And that's something that, you know, it really shaped who I am today. And I told her that I just felt like maybe that's not what people want to hear from me. Maybe I needed to keep it a little lighter than that. You know, maybe that's not what my audience was here for. And that's not what they were looking for from me. And so there became this apprehension and this fear, you know, that if I tried to switch it up or go a little deeper or go a little further, you know, then maybe I would turn people away. But I love him more than I love the people. So who cares? It didn't matter if one person was listening to this podcast. It really didn't matter. As long as I'm being honest about my love for him. And I just talked about how I felt silly about those fears, you know, because that's my truth. I want to tell the world how good he's been to me and how good he just is in general. And we had that conversation. We talked about a lot that night, but we wrapped it up at around 11:50. We spent about 10 minutes taking pictures inside the place and outside the place. We got in my car at about 12:05. So officially at this point, my birthday is over. And if I can just go over my birthday, I went to work on my birthday. My birthday was perfect. I had an easy, breezy, lighthearted day filled with love and appreciation. Everybody was so nice and sweet. I wasn't stressed out. I wasn't aggravated. I didn't get mad about anything. I had a really good day. And I was so thankful for that. Nothing grand or spectacular happened. I just had a good day. And good days from beginning to end are hard to come by. So you have to be appreciative. So I was very thankful for that. But baby, as soon as that clock strike 12, as soon as that clock strike 12, and it was February 15th, it's like, okay, you got to take the good with the bad. Because baby, it came rolling right on in. I started my car, and it was about 12:05, I believe, and the gas light came on. Now, mind you, I told you that when we got there, no gas light, all good, no gas light. So I'm thinking, you know, like I said, I'll just get some gas in the morning on my way to work, no big deal, because I know my car. And even though I saw the gas light come on, I still wasn't tripping because I said, well, my gas light has come on before. But if I'm not mistaken, I have 30 miles to empty and we're not 30 miles from home. So it's all good. So I get to driving and we're headed 45 south. If you know anything about this area, we're headed 45 south where 75 turns into 45, and there is a bridge, you can call it a bridge or an overpass over I-30, and you're really high up in the air. Hell, I don't know how many feet, I don't know how to gauge it, how many feet up in there. Let's just say we're 100 feet in the air, okay? So we're up in the air, and I feel the car, because we're on this bridge, I feel the car start to slow down, and I say, Yamika. And at this point, my heart is starting to beat a little faster. Yamika, the car is slowing down. The car is slowing down. She's like, are you sure? I said, yes. She's like, are you pushing the gas? Yes, I'm pushing the gas. The car is slowing down. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, just, get it together. Start pulling over to the shoulder. Start pulling over to the right, to the shoulder. At this point, the car completely stops. We are out of gas. This has never happened to me in my life. Okay, I've been driving since I was 16. This has never happened in my life. Never have I run out of gas before. Never have I been so irresponsible. But my car never does this because, once again, I know my car. So it was just crazy to me that this just happened. So I'm in a panic. I'm afraid. I'm scared. it's not only the fact that this is the first time I ran out of gas, so I'm about to have to inconvenience somebody. Not only that, but look how high up we are. And I can see, I can't really see the ground underneath us. We're really high up. But the thing was, is that if you've ever been stopped or stalled on a bridge before, as every car passes by, you can feel every bounce, shiver, shake, breath on that bridge. We felt literally everything. So my car's on this bridge, 12 o'clock in the morning, bouncing up and down. The ground underneath us is so far, far away. And immediately my mind says that somebody's going to hit us and knock us off this bridge and we're going to die. That's where my mind goes immediately. Like, I'm about to die. Like, this is how it's going to end. Wow. I had such a good day and this is how it's going to be over. This is how. Wow. I made it up in my mind that death was upon us. And I called my daddy, and my daddy woke up in a panic, like, what's going on? You know, of course, it's late. Like, what are you talking about right now? But I call him. I let him know what's going on. I tell him to please hurry, because I'm scared. Please hurry. And the entire time, Yamika is sitting over there in the passenger seat, and she's telling me to just stay calm. We're going to be okay. Stay calm. We're going to be okay. And I'm like, no, this is bad. This is scary. I want to get out of this car. I want to get out. And I told my daddy this when I was on the phone. So my daddy, he is a firefighter and paramedic. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know, but firefighters and paramedics are the same people. And some days they go to work, they go to the fire station, and they're either assigned to the engine or they're assigned to the ambulance. So, but firefighters and paramedics are the same people. And when he's assigned to the engine, he's the driver of the engine. And so when there is a wreck on the freeway, you know how the engine will be turned sideways in the middle of the road. He's the one that did it like that. Okay. So this is my dad's profession. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I want to get out of this car. I was like, I got to get out. I feel like somebody's going to hit us and we're going to get knocked off this bridge and die. I just want to get out. Please. I just want to get out. And I had to listen to my daddy. He said, Jazz, calm down. It's going to be okay. Y'all are going to be fine, but do not get out of that car. I said, Daddy, please, like, I'm begging, like, please, I just want to get out. I would just feel safer, you know, if I got out. I want to get out of this car. He says, Jazz, I've seen enough and I know enough. He said, if you get out of the car, you will get hit and you will die. Like, well, damn. just tell it like it is then. And I had to trust what my daddy said. And I had to stay in the car, even though I was afraid. I trusted what my daddy said. I trusted his word because he knew what he was talking about. And we stayed in the car. And I remember getting off the phone. And about 5 minutes later, a random car starts speeding up behind us. Like, they literally start pulling over to the shoulder and speeding up behind us. And they get right up to us and they stop abruptly. Two people get out of the car. Two men is what it seemed like. I couldn't really see them because they had their headlights still flashing on the back of my car. One guy gets out from one side of the car and comes to the other side of the car, while the driver opens his door and just stands in his doorway and holds his horn down at my car. I don't know what the heck is happening right now. I was like, Yamika, who are these people? Like, what is happening? Who are they? I don't know, Jazz, but lock the door. Make sure that the doors are still locked. So the doors are still locked. These strange people who we could not see, they were just like all black. We could not, they were like silhouettes. We couldn't make out any faces or anything. We just saw them going back and forth from one side of the car to the other. And all the while holding the horn down, honking at us. I'm like, what's happening? Like what is the point of this? Like, what is the point of this? Do they want me to do something? I don't know if they wanted me to get out the car. And so many theories ran through my head, like, well, maybe they want us to get out so they can shoot us and kill us. You know, maybe they're trying to help us, but they need me to get out and tell them what's wrong. But I didn't move, and I was instructed not to move. And so I didn't. And that went on for maybe about 5 minutes total. And in that point in time, 5 minutes seemed like forever. But they finally got back in the car and they sped off. I cannot tell you to this day what that meant, what that was about. I don't know. But it scared me because I'm just like, what's going on? Now, I done ran out of gas. I'm on top of a bridge at close to 1 a.m. Random people pull up behind me like they about to shoot us and rob us. Like, what did I do to deserve this? You know what I'm saying? What did I do to deserve this? Like, I just had the best day. Excuse me. I just had the best day. And this is what transpires. So they get out and I call my daddy back. I'm just like, Daddy, I need you to hurry up. I need you to come on. I am scared. I am scared. Please. I'm rushing him. But in his mind, it's like, I'm going to get there when I get there. I'm going to make it when I make it. And when I get there, you'll be fine. Like I've told you, you'll be fine this entire time. But I need you to believe me. And I know y'all, if you're smart, you see where I'm going with this, right? You see the underlying message here, right? So I'm on the phone with him still, and I am hearing him tell me it's going to be okay, but I'm going off of what I see, right? Not having faith in what he's told me and believing it, but I'm in that moment going off my sight, because I literally look in my side view mirror and I see a white SUV headed straight into my car, about to T-bone us, straight into my car. And I just start yelling out on the phone, OF, I'm not going to cuss, OF, OF, OF. My God, y'all, God's hand had to have come down out of heaven, picked that car up or that truck up and turned it the other way at the last second. Because when I tell you it was about to be over, that truck was about to slam into us. It was so close. Now, it wasn't that it was just going to hit us. The way we were positioned, that truck was going to hit us, most likely kill us on impact. And if it didn't kill us on impact when it knocked us off the bridge and my car fell 100 feet to the ground. And then we were slammed into by somebody else. That would have killed us. But in that moment, from what I saw, despite what I believed my daddy tell me, or believe what my daddy told me, I was about to die. Because I was about to get hit. But miraculously, the car turned at the last second and we were untouched. Y'all, the panic and fear and how it just took everything out of me to try to breathe and to just calm down, because I was about to lose my mind. I'm like, this right here is unreal right now. It's like back to back to back to back to back to back to back. It's like all I could do was go off of what I saw happening. I couldn't see past that moment. I couldn't see past that moment, but in the back of my mind, something kept saying, oh my God, I cannot wait to get in my bed. I just cannot wait to be in my bed tonight. I cannot wait until I am in my bed tonight. And despite the fact that some killer robber murderers got out the car honking at us, finna kill us, but they changed their mind, and a white SUV almost slammed us off the bridge, I still had this belief in the back of my head that it was going to be okay. And My daddy finally made it. He finally made it with the gas. And he got out of his car. And he was off. My gas thing is off on the right side of my car. And so he was closest to the bridge's edge on the passenger side. And I'm a pessimist. Because that can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. Yeah, he made it here. And we didn't die. But, oh, okay. I woke my daddy up in the middle of the night to come rescue us off of a bridge. Because he's supposed to get knocked off the bridge. A truck is supposed to come and knock him off the bridge. That's what's supposed to happen. Oh, okay. Well, he put the gas in and that was fine. And a truck didn't come knock him off the bridge, but he's about to go back around and get back in his car and somebody's going to slam into him and kill him. And all of this happened because of me, because of what I did tonight. Oh, okay. Well, he got in his car and he was safe and we're driving off and headed to the gas station. But, oh, okay. We going to the gas station in the hood and it's dark and ain't no telling what kind of people out here. He about to get robbed and shot. And that's why all of this happened. So that bad thing can happen to him. Oh, okay. Well, he puts the gas in my car just fine and nobody messes with us and we're on our way home. But on the freeway on the way home, somebody's going to hit us. We're going to get hit by a drunk driver. And that's why all of this happened. Y'all, we all made it home. We all made it to our destinations. And I made it to my bed. And y'all, I just laid there and cried. At how ashamed of myself I was. I did all of that for what? I was that afraid for what? I didn't believe for what? The whole time in my heart, I knew that it was going to be okay because I knew who had me, who was covering me. But I chose to take the route of fear. Knowing, and something I've always said, I said for years, I say it to people, but when I was tested in that moment, I didn't believe it, that fear is not real. Now, I've heard people say before, danger is real. Yes, danger is real. That was a very dangerous situation, but fear is a choice. And I chose fear over faith in that moment. I was only going off of what I saw. And I felt like God's power wasn't strong enough to keep me. Because I'm thinking, oh, it wasn't that easy for him to save us from being on top of this bridge with cars zooming by, drunk drivers and all, at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because, oh, he saved us from that, but something else bad has to happen. It just has to, because that's how things work. But it didn't. We all made it home safe. And that little belief in the back of my head, it happened. And I was laying there. Just so ashamed of the fact that I was that person. Ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? And I just couldn't come up with the words as to why I didn't believe the way I knew I should. I was thankful. I laid there crying too because I was very appreciative of the fact that I didn't die. Like, wow, that was the scariest thing I've ever been through. That was the scariest thing that I've ever been through because I just kept having these moments where I'm seeing my life flash before my eyes. And I didn't feel like it was over just yet. It just can't be over. This isn't it. Something bad has to happen. Something bad has to happen. But it didn't. It didn't. In that moment, that was a moment for God to show his power and for me to believe. And what I want to say, Yamika, I know you're listening, girl. I just want to say thank you again for your faith and the reminders that you kept giving me that everything was going to be okay and that it was no reason for me to be afraid. And it's so funny because just sitting there at the bar and just talking about being unashamed and unafraid. And I'll tell anybody anything about Jesus if they ask me because talking all this cash money stuff. And then when it was time to show and prove, look at me. And it's okay. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm just, you know, I feel thankful for this platform, for my podcast, to be able to use it as something to hold me accountable, A, and B, to just share with you the goodness of who God is. And I'm not too afraid to do that. So I want to leave you all with this. 2 days after this happened, that Friday, Friday the 16th, I took off work and I took a flight to Washington, D.C. for my first solo trip. Some things you want to do with your friends and do with people you love, but that trip I just didn't. I wanted to enjoy myself by myself, and I didn't want to feel like I was making anybody go anywhere they didn't want to go. You know how you go on trips and everybody has to follow the same itinerary and you have to be on the same accord. And I just didn't feel like dealing with that. Not to say the people that I travel with, I can't stand or anything, but I just wanted to try and see what it was like on my own. And I'm so glad I made the decision. So I got to DC and I got there around 9:30 in the morning. And I was able to check into my hotel room early. And the first thing on my list to do, the reason why I came, was to go to the National African American History and Culture Museum. And if you haven't heard about it, go do your research. It's part of the Smithsonian Institute, and it's the first museum like that of its kind, showcasing African American history and culture. So it's just full of greatness. It's so many floors. You cannot, I don't feel, in my opinion, that you can visit it and enjoy it the way it's supposed to be enjoyed in one visit in one day. So I would definitely say I want to go back. But I had to take a Lyft. I used to do Uber, but now I'm a Lyft girl. So I booked my Lyft and I got in the car. The guy that picked me up, I don't remember his name, but he was an Asian man. And he was older, I would say maybe his 60s, and he was just in such a good mood. That's what I remember. He was in such a good mood, and he was asking me, you know, why I was basically here, like, okay, where are you from? You know, making small talk. I was telling him that I was an art teacher from Texas, and that I, you know, I just really wanted to come to this museum today. And he was like, oh, okay, my wife. He had really broken English too. Yeah, he had really broken English. But he told me, from what I understood, that his wife also studied art. And he told me that she wasn't that good. He was like, but it didn't matter because he was her number one fan. And she was kind of apprehensive about showing him new pieces that she would work on. But he said anything that she showed him, he would just go crazy over. And like, Van Gogh, who is Van Gogh? Because it's all about you. He really made me laugh. I'm sorry. When he said that, he was like, Van Gogh, who is Van Gogh? Van Gogh don't got nothing on you. Like, he just was his wife's hype man. And I said, that's really nice. I said, keep doing that. Keep being that for her. I said, that's really what's up. And so we started talking about how hard it is to get tickets for this museum. It's really popular, and getting tickets online is like 3 months in advance is kind of the wait to get tickets to be able to visit. It's free, but you still need to get tickets. And what I read on their website was that they also have walk-up passes, and walk-up passes basically mean that at 1 o'clock they open up the walk-up line and there's a lady standing there that hands out tickets. And then when she runs out of tickets, she's out for the day to let people in that are just walk-ups. And my hope was that, I told him, I said, my hope is that, you know, I'm going to make it into the walk-up line. I was getting there at exactly 1 o'clock. I was like, I hope the line isn't like wrapped around the corner, because I didn't actually know what to expect. But I was just like, I'm hoping. He was like, yes, you gotta hope, you gotta believe, you gotta have faith, you gotta have faith, don't be scared, just believe. And I was like, yes, yeah. He said, yes, because the Bible says it. I'm like, okay, you you better start preaching in this lift today. Yes. He said, the Bible says to not be afraid and to just believe. He was like, you're going to get into this museum today. We're going to pull up and the line is going to be short and you're going to get into this museum today. I was like, I believe it. I receive it. Yes, Pastor Lift Driver. I believe it. And y'all, he started reciting something that sounded familiar. And he started reciting the scripture. When I got out of my lift, I immediately pulled out my phone to look it up. The verse that he started reciting to me was actually Psalms 119, verse 105. It states, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. What that meant to me in that moment, the way I interpreted it for that moment, was that I couldn't see what was in front of me. I couldn't see the museum's front door or line, but I had to have faith, like his word says, and believe that I have nothing to fear. He wouldn't have brought me all of that way, literally 1,000-something miles, for me to be left outside in the cold. So I thanked him as I got out, and I walked over to the line, and like Sunday morning, walked up. It was 3 people in that walk up line, y'all. In my mind, at first, I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to be hundreds of people because it's so hard to get into this place. It's President's Day weekend. Everybody's in D.C. Just all of these reasons to doubt. I walk up, it was literally like 3 or 4 people in line. The lady handed me a ticket from a stack of about 100. And I walked right in like it was nothing. And I enjoyed myself and I enjoyed my visit. Y'all, it's just, we can make ourselves crazy with apprehension and fear because we don't trust who we know will take care of it all. It's no reason to be fearful. Fear is not real. Danger is real, but fear is not. And I really hope that you guys are able to take something from this today. I don't have to go back to the story of the night that I thought I was going to die and tell you how when your dad gives you a command, he tells you what to do. Follow it and believe him because he has your best interest at heart. I don't have to go back and make the reference to God because you already know that's what I was doing. And that's like, it was a real life thing. My dad, my father gave me direction and I needed to follow them despite the fear of what I could see. I needed to have faith that he knew what he was talking about. The same can be said about God, our Father. So y'all, if it's anything that you've been scared to do, apprehensive about, whatever, scared to live your life the way you know you should, let people go, let things go, just do it. And God will light your path the rest of the way. You don't have to worry about the fact that you don't know what it's going to look like. You can't see how it could turn itself into something else. He got you as long as you decide to say, yes, I believe you, and walk with him. And I just had to share that with you all today. I know this wasn't exactly a week like I said in my post, but it's okay. Y'all know how I do. Y'all know me at this point. And sometimes I just take a little longer than others to come through with an episode. But hey, we're not going to sit and dwell on that. I enjoyed talking about this today, and I hope you enjoyed listening. And until next time, everybody, I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.